Tonight, I want you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34, second book in the Bible of Exodus. Go to chapter 34. We're going to be taking a look at one little verse in there, verse number 14. And tonight, I want to talk to you guys about a jealous God. Something went off on the inside of me as I was listening to Pastor Jim and Deborah this weekend, and Pastor Deborah read a definition of what it meant to be jealous. As she was reading that definition, I was thinking about my God, and I was thinking about how God is called a jealous God. The definition that she read went something like this, that it was a mistrust of someone's interest in something that you already possess or own. And as I was thinking about a jealous God, and I was thinking about how God is jealous for us, and how God looks at us, His people, His special people, His peculiar people, His set apart people that are already His. And yet God is looking at us, and God also knows very well that there is an enemy to our soul out there that is coming against us, that's trying to creep in and that's trying to gain our interest and our attention and our affection and in the end our lives. And it's no wonder that the Bible describes God as being a jealous God when you think about it in those terms. Because God has special interest in each and every person on the planet. We just sang about it. He is jealous for me. We just sang about it, how He loves us. God loves us so much that God is passionate and God is committed to each and every one of us in an individual way. God is jealous over us. Exodus chapter 34, I want you to take a look at this. In Exodus chapter 34, in verse number 14, it's almost like, you know, you see the little parentheses on the verse, if it's there, if you're reading it there in your Bible. Verse 13, he's talking about going into the land. He's talking about possessing the land. He's talking about, you know, you're not going to do what the nations around you did. I want you to cut down all their idols, cut down their altars, destroy the high places. And in the middle of this thought, there's a little parentheses that says this in verse number 14. It says, "For you shall worship no other God. For the Lord," look at this, "whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Isn't it amazing that when God reveals Himself to us through His Word, one of the names of God is jealous? God is so passionate about us. God is so committed to us. God is so interested in us that He names Himself jealous. I thought that was very interesting. It's almost as if God is saying, "Jealous is my middle name." Now, in the original Hebrew language, we're not Hebrew scholars, we don't speak Hebrew, but as I was studying this out, I thought it was very interesting that the word for jealous literally means to become very red. Kind of an interesting thought when you think about a husband who's so devoted to his bride that when somebody else starts trying to turn his bride's attention away from himself, he gets red in the face because he's so mad that he starts to turn jealous. He starts to get hot. His face flushes over. Some of us in this room have experienced that. But I'm here to tell you something, that God's jealousy is not like our jealousy. And just as God's ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, His jealousy is not like our jealousy. See, the jealousy of God is not as a man's jealousy, because man's jealousy produces rage, produces doubt and fear. Ultimately, if it's carried out, the jealousy will produce force and will become a controlling thing. Whereas the jealousy of God does not produce those things, because God is perfect and all of His ways are perfect and in all of His dealings are just. And when God becomes jealous over us, it moves Him both to discipline us and it moves Him to love us. And it doesn't move Him to control us, but rather to release us into an atmosphere of His love. We're going to take a look at this a little bit more in depth tonight. But where man's jealousy seeks to control someone's will, God's jealousy seeks to discipline us to release to Him our will. R.W. Dale said that jealousy is but the anger and pain of injured and insulted love. See, God is just lovesick with us. The Bible says that we can't even count the number of times He thinks of us in a day. It's like the sand on the seashore. I can't even comprehend that. How many of you guys have been to the beach recently and taken a look at all the sand on the seashore? Can you even start to think about counting and numbering each grain of sand on the seashore? And yet the Bible describes that that's how many times God thinks about each and every one of you and me in a single moment. God is ever interested in who we are and what we're doing, in our coming and our going, in all of our dealings. And when God sees us getting our eyes off of him and starts to see the enemy try and come and creep in and divide our interest, divide our attention, and get us away from him, God starts to get red in the face. God starts to get hot. God starts to get angry. Now, I know we've shrunk away from anger, but righteous anger is something that God has, something that God holds. The Bible says we can be angry and do not sin. So there is a way to have a righteous, good anger in our lives that moves us to do something about it. God's jealousy is intimately connected with our obedience. See, if we were all perfect, God would have no need to be jealous. Think about it for a second. If we all just, you know, had our ears tuned out to the world and our ears tuned out to the devil and our ears tuned out to other interests and other things that would try and creep in, then what would God need to be jealous for? Then God's jealousy would be unjust. And yet we know that God is just. So therefore, it tells me that God's jealousy is intimately connected with our obedience. And when we start to waver, when we start to look away, when we start to listen to other things than his voice and start to go in a different direction than he's calling us to, all of a sudden God starts to become jealous. But he has a right, because he's perfect. He's perfect in his love, and his jealousy is not controlling, but rather releasing. Let's take a look at it in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn there with me to the New Testament. Go through the Gospels, Acts, Romans. You'll find 1 Corinthians and then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and he's talking to them about his authority and he's talking to them about how he deals with them and why he's so passionate for them. And he starts to explain himself in a different light. And again, we find almost a side thought in verse number 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 2. He says, "For I am jealous for you." Here we find it again. Now it's not God speaking to them directly. This is Paul writing, but remember that it's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving Paul to write these things. So we can take a look at this and we can see the heartbeat of God for us. He says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy." Paul didn't say, "I'm jealous for you," and leave it at that. He had to explain himself. He had to say, "I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy." That word godly is theos. It means the God kind of jealousy. It means that he is jealous for them with the jealousy that God has. He says, "For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present to you as a chaste virgin to Christ." It's almost as if Paul is saying, hey, forget about the million-dollar matchmaker. Come on, somebody. Forget about these people trying to hook you up with something good in the world. I am jealous for you. Why? Because I have hooked you up with the richest bachelor in the universe. I've hooked you up with the best man that there ever was. You've been looking for the perfect man, and I found him for you. His name is Jesus. And yet, I'm jealous for you in case your eyes start looking somewhere else. In case you start to think I can find it better in another place. And so he says, "I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy." Again, I looked up the word jealousy, tried to find out what it meant in the Greek. Again, I do not speak Greek, and neither do you. Most of you in this place don't, at least. But the word is zelos. It's where we get our word zeal. Okay? Now, if you say zealous real fast and replace it with a J, you get jealous, right? Jealous. I'm jealous. It's zealous, okay? And that's where we get our word for jealousy from. The root of the word means to boil, okay? So we talked about getting red in the face, but this word, the root of it is to boil. You know, when all of a sudden things start heating up and it's that constant heat, and that heat just keeps going on that water, on that pan, and eventually bubbles start bubbling up, things start happening, steam starts rising, okay? And so that's what it means. He says, "I am so involved in you that I'm passionate for you. I am zealous for you. I am boiling over because of the heat that's been applied in your direction for such a long period of time." It's a passionate commitment and an intense desire. This zeal is what moved Paul each and every day to plant churches and to go and visit those churches and to write letters to those churches. He said the burden of the churches came upon him daily, and that he would go to the Lord in prayer over them, and he would agonize over them, and he would pray for them. He was intimately involved in these churches, and he said that he was just like a mother with her children. He's always looking after her, making sure that they're okay, her children are okay. And so Paul says, just like I am looking after you with your relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm passionate for you, I'm zealous for you, I am boiling over because of my intense desire for you to be hooked up with Christ. So we see that our God is a jealous God. Now, oftentimes when we take a look at the Word of God, we maybe get a revelation of something. We get an idea about something. We understand something about the character and nature of God. But let's not stop there tonight. Tonight, let's find out what we are to respond to because of this revelation that we have. It's one thing to know that God is a jealous God. It's one thing to know that God is intimately involved in our lives and interested in what's going on and where our eyes are looking and what things are happening around us. One thing to know that God is aware of what the enemy is doing and is trying to keep his influence out of our lives. But it's quite another thing to know what we need to do in response to that jealousy. It's quite another thing to know how we are supposed to conduct our lives in light of the fact that God's name is even jealous. So tonight I want to take a look at a couple of things quickly. Because we have a jealous God, we must. I'm going to make three statements tonight. Because we have a jealous God, we must. Three quick things, some simple things that I want you to get a hold of tonight about our jealous God and about our response to our jealous God. Are you guys listening tonight? Yeah. Amen. Number one is to beware of false lovers. Because we have a jealous God, we must beware of false lovers. Just like God being a jealous God is looking after the false lovers that would try and come into our lives and steal away our attention, steal away our interest in who he is and his influence in our life, we also must take on that jealous nature of God, the godly way, where we are careful when we are weary of things that would draw us away and take us away from God. See, there are influences out there each and every day. You can't even drive down the 10 freeway on your way home from work without seeing at least four billboards that are going to try and turn your attention away from the things of God. See, there's things on the television all the time trying to turn our attention away. People are being taught in our schools, in our universities, in our colleges, things that are contrary to the ways of God. Things are being broadcast through political scenes and social scenes and all over the internet that are trying to draw us away. And while some people say, you know what, that's good for them, you know, just let them do their thing, I'll do my thing, I can be involved in it, and you know, even though I'm in the world, I'm not of it. Yeah, that's a great statement, and I agree with that, and yet, what are you doing to make sure that you're not of it? I hear so many people say, you know what, I listen to all this music, and it's okay that I listen to this music because I'm not listening to the words, I'm just listening to the beats. So, you know, I could try it. I won't do it. But I was in a meeting one time where a guy started to sing an old song, right? Started to sing the telephone numbers to this old song. And everybody in the group finished the telephone number. And he said, you just sang the number to a prostitute. See, you can't just listen to the beats. That stuff gets caught in your spirit. Stuff gets caught in your heart. And if you're going to take a listen to something, you better be careful what you're putting in. Jesus said, be careful what goes in, because it's what is on the inside of your heart that defiles you. It's the things on the inside of your heart that's going to take you away from God. Doesn't matter what you eat. Doesn't matter what you drink. Yeah, all that's fine. But he said, it's what is coming inside. Those things that you're putting in. What are you watching on television? What are you watching at the movies? Where are you going? What are you reading? We got to be careful. We got to watch out. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. They're in 2 Corinthians. A couple of books back, right after Philippians, you'll find Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. There's a great verse in Colossians chapter 2. Great couple of verses, actually. Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse number 8 and read all the way through 10. He says, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world and not according to Christ. Stop right there for a second. Look up at the overhead. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you. See those words, cheat you? Literally, that means to spoil you. No, I don't mean like spoiled food in your pantry. I mean like if you were an army, right? And somebody came in and defeated you and robbed you of everything that you had that was worth anything of value. That's what he's talking about. Beware lest anyone cheat you out of what you have. Beware lest anyone come in by deceit, by philosophy, he says, empty deceit, traditions of men, and basic principles of this world. He says those are the avenues that are going to come in and try and steal away from you the things which you have in Christ. So he says to beware, to be watchful of, to be jealous over your relationship with God, lest anyone cheat you or spoil you or rob you blind. Remember, Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, right? The devil's coming. The devil is looking after you. The devil is intimately involved in what you're doing. Don't fool yourself. See, if the devil can get you to think that he's not there, he's not real, and he has no influence in your life, you're going to get beat up. You're going to get stolen from. There's going to be death in your life, and eventually he's going to try and destroy you. And yet Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. But he also said, my sheep know my voice in that same passage, and they follow me. See, Jesus is looking out. He's watching out for the thief. He's jealous over us. And so he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and look at this, and not according to Christ. Take a look at the next verse. Verse number 9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We can't even begin to expound that statement. That's an amazing statement. But take a look at verse number 10. Basically, it says that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are represented in Jesus Christ himself. He is the expressed image of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is one like him to come. Man, that's just an amazing thought. Verse number 10, and look at this. Look at this. And you are complete in him. Let me say that again. You are complete in him. The question is, if you are complete in him, then why are we out trying to make so much money that we can finally fulfill our desires? Why are we out there trying to get entertained so that we can satisfy our pleasures? Why are we looking for a man or a woman to complete us? We are complete in Christ. That means complete, lacking nothing. We have need of nothing else. We have no want, we have no desire except for him, because he is the one who completes us. You are complete in him, so beware lest anyone come in and try and rob you of the things that you have in Christ Jesus. Because we have a jealous God, we must, number one, beware of false lovers. They're going to try and come in, they're going to try and rob you. Second thing, because we have a jealous God, we must readily repent. It got awful quiet in this room right now. Come on, let's all be honest. Pastor Dan is not the only one in the house that messes up, right? Oh, I might be, but I don't think so. And I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you guys. I mess up, and I have to repent daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes by the minute. Anyone else be honest in here? Okay, thank you. Good. You know, in this church, you don't really have to worry if when you raise your hand, someone else isn't, because, you know, this is the church of ex-everythings, ex-druggies, ex-prisoners, you name it, we got it. There is the gamut in this place, man. And so, you know, if you get caught up in your past, get caught up into empty philosophies, get caught up into the traditions of men, get caught up into the devil's trap, you're going to sit there guilty about what you did, and you're going to run from God, and yet a jealous God wants us to run to him. You see, repentance is so simple. Repentance means I was going this way, doing my own thing, thinking my own way. I had a change of heart, and I changed my mind, and now I turn and I go back towards God. That's as simple as repentance can get. That's it. Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. Number one, that's good news. We're forgiven. It's gone. And it says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And yet I see that a lot of people, when they get zealous for God and they get passionate about God and they start moving forward with God, when they have a failure in their life, they stop at that failure. And they almost lay down on the road and just say, that's it, I failed, I can't do this, you know, I need to stop here, I quit, that's it. And yet God is saying, what are you doing? Get up, I'm jealous for you, I don't want you in that arena, come to me and I will clean you up. When you mess up on Friday night or Saturday night, don't stay away from the house of God. You could have messed up Wednesday afternoon and it doesn't matter because there is a church service going on. And in the car ride over, you could be like, God, I just blew it, but God, I'm coming to you. Listen, I live this. I got to tell you, one of the most freeing things in my life is that somebody taught me about repentance. Somebody taught me that God cleanses us. Somebody taught me that in the book of Isaiah, he says that I have cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. And I was thinking, man, that's a big distance. Just think about the planet Earth. You could actually measure how far the east is from the west. And yet, think a new thought. God doesn't deal with Earth. God deals with the universe. Some of you guys got a hold of that right now. And so it's not about our limited understanding of our sin. Yeah, you messed up, but you know what? The Bible says Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. Not some sin, not the big sins, not the small sins, but all sin. Every sin is covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the ones you're going to commit in the future. That's good news. That means that when it happens, and it will, we're all going to mess up, earthside, because we still live in flesh. And the flesh will war against the spirit. But when you mess up, don't stop at that mess up. Readily repent. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, last book of the Bible, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to the lukewarm church, Church of the Laodiceans. He's written 7 letters to 7 churches. And here we find in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 19, look at this. As many as I love. We just sang about the love of God, right? Oh, how he loves us. We sang it, we sang it, we sang it till we cried. We sang it till we were blue in the face. We sang it till we were almost couldn't sing it anymore. I don't know, I could have sang it all night, but you know what? He says, as many as I love. My ears start to perk up and I say, what is it, Lord? Because I know you love me. Look at what he says. I rebuke. What's up with that? As many as you love, you rebuke, but look at what he says. I rebuke and chasten. That doesn't mean he just corrects us. That doesn't mean he just tells us what to do, but he also disciplines us, chastens us. It's like you're getting a whooping. How many of you parents have ever said this? I know I've said this to my kids. I'm doing this because I love you. Look at all the parents. They're like, yeah, I said that. It's going to hurt me, son, more than it's going to hurt you. Right? She said, no, it's not, Daddy. And yet he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Why? Because if he didn't love you, he would leave you in that pit. Are you getting this? If he didn't love you, he'd let you sit there in your mess. If he didn't love you, he'd let you be hurt, broke down, busted, and disgusted. But God loves you more than that. God loves you so much that he will not allow you to stay in that place, so he corrects you, he rebukes you. He gives you a strict warning, child, don't you be doing that. And not only that, he chastens you, he gives you a whooping. He disciplines you. But look at this, therefore be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent. Be zealous. Remember that root word is zealous. Be passionate. Be eager about it. Be ready. He says, if you stand ready, he's writing this to the lukewarm church. These people were just sitting there stagnant. They weren't going anywhere with God. They were just sitting in a mess. And he says, those that I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous. Just like I'm zealous for you, just like I'm jealous over you, I want you to have that same response to me. And I want you to repent. I want you to come back. Come back to your first love. Come to me, and I want you to receive from me. Because we have a jealous God, we must, number one, beware of false lovers. Number two, readily repent. And number three, because we have a jealous God, we must aim to please him. Saints of God, if you don't hear anything else tonight, hear this. Aim to please Him. Aim to please Him. You know, in our society, in America today, and actually all over the world, I found, people are aiming to please themselves. Just like the Bible speaks about in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. I have found that to be very true in our society. Because people will take their own comfort over going outside of their comfort zone and reaching out to somebody for Jesus. People will choose their own comfort and stay home from a church service and miss out on the grace of God, miss out on the anointing of God, miss out on hearing the voice of God because it would make them uncomfortable. People are lovers of themselves. They will miss out on a blessing of giving because they store up for themselves. And yet God has not called us to live a small, confined life where we just please ourselves. We've taken the pursuit of happiness in this nation way too far. And people who are pleasure seekers are going out and doing all sorts of things. And yet God is jealous over each and every one of us. God's desire is for us to come to Him. And when we do those things that are pleasing in God's sight, God takes care of everything in your life. Listen, Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So why are we worried about pleasing ourselves? See, if we looked after pleasing God, then we wouldn't have to worry about any of that stuff. Remember, Jesus is speaking about the sparrows. He says, they're fed. Aren't you worth more than a sparrow? He says, look at the flowers. They're clothed. So what are you worried about? He says, don't I take care of them? And yet, how much more are you worth than a flower and a sparrow? Aim to please Him. Turn back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is talking about the deeds that are done in the body. Talking about what we're going through here on earth. Talking about trials and afflictions that take place in our life. And yet we continue to move on and move forward with the things of God. Starts talking about faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Verse number 9, he says this. He says, therefore we make it our aim. Everybody say, I make it my aim. Come on, say it with some attitude. I make it my aim. To please Him. He says, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. See, here's a man who was snake bit, shipwrecked. He was followed around by the Jews. They would not let him go to another synagogue in another city to preach. It wasn't good enough that he left their town. They had to leave the other towns too. Guy was let out of a basket right when he started his preaching ministry. Out of the wall of a city, let down in a basket and had to flee for his life. And yet, because he knew that trials were ahead, he said, doesn't matter what I'm doing in the body or if I'm going to be with Jesus, I make it my aim to be well-pleasing to Him. When they told him, hey, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Bonds and chains are waiting for you there. He says, I'm compelled by the Spirit of God to move forward and go to Jerusalem. He counted his own personal comfort less than he counted the desire of God on his life and the jealousy of God that people might come into the kingdom. See, church, it's time for us to get jealous. It's time for us to take on the jealousy of God, that zeal, that passion, that interest, and that desire to watch out, yes, over our own lives, to make sure that whatever's coming in isn't influencing us and taking us away from our first love. To make sure that also we're jealous for other people and that we take this outside of our own realm, take this outside of our own comfort. You know, maybe there's been somebody that you brought to church and they gave their heart to the Lord. And then they stopped coming to church with you. And you said, oh, well, I tried. Listen, you're not jealous yet. You're not jealous yet. You need to go after them. You need to get a hold of them and say, hey, you gave your heart to the Lord. It's time to follow up. It's time to continue on with God. You can do it, friend. You can make it. I'm going to help you. I'll be there for you. It's time that some of our SPTs took a look through who they maybe got through 3 or 4 weeks with and give another call. It's time that we took a look at our small group lists. Found out who hasn't been showing up. It's time that we took a look around us in the seats and see who's not here. Because listen, God is passionate about these people. It's time that we looked at who's checking us out in the grocery line and ringing up our groceries. It's time that we looked at who's taking the cash there at the gas station. It's time that we looked at the people around us and we saw them in light of God's jealousy. God is ultimately passionate about each and every person on the planet. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. And that's why we haven't wrapped this thing up yet, is because God is waiting. God is patient. Why? Because he wants more people in the kingdom. And God is waiting to fill heaven with the people on earth because he loves them. He has an intimate, deep desire to see people in the kingdom of God. So we need to take on that same passion, that same heart, that same zeal and jealousy. Because we have a jealous God, we must, number one, beware of false lovers. Number two, we must readily repent. And number three, we must aim to please him. If you got something from the word tonight, come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah.